All right, two things. First thing I want you to pray with me for and to agree with me, because I'm trying to stay out of the flesh, okay? And we need a well. Everybody know that? And the last correspondence we got said the guy would get to our permit in 2 or 3 weeks. And I'm here to tell you that's bothering me. So pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to touch this man's heart, to touch the DNR. And Lord, you know who he is, and I pray with all the love in my heart that he can't wake up in the morning without thinking about Mount Zion Christian Church in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. And that, Lord, you could get through all the red tape, you could get through this, and that, Lord, we could get the permit. We have the man ready to drill the well. We got everything ready to go. And Father, would you move these things out of the way and get us good water, Father, in Jesus' name. Second, I want to lift up farmers, okay? Father, right now we have a bunch of crops out in the field. There are men and women whose livelihood rests on it. And more than that, Lord, our nation depends on food. And so, Father, I would ask that you would watch over all the brothers and sisters. Lord, there's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of stress. And I pray, Lord, for your peace that surpasses understanding to touch them, to bring them peace, give them knowledge and wisdom that comes from your throne room, and preserve them, Lord, and take care of this nation by providing us with food. And Father, just be with them. Give them a peace again that passes understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. You may be seated. We are in the book of Ruth. All right? I said, Lord, what should I do leading up to Christmas and the holidays that are coming? I think Christmas is less than 60 days away. I think I heard that. Is that true? And he said, teach through the book of Ruth. So that's what we're going to do. I'm going to read the first chapter today. Ruth, from ruin to redemption. I wonder where you're at today. If you're in ruin or if you're redeemed or if you're hanging somewhere in the middle. And so I'm going to read this first chapter to set the scene. It's in the time of the judges. As near as they can tell, and all the theologians know, this is in the time of the judges. In the time of the judges, Israel would obey God and things would go really well. There was a cycle there. And then they would disobey God and things would go terribly. And then God would bring a judge, somebody like Samson, all right, somebody like Gideon. He would bring the judge and the judge would bring them back to God. And then their obedience would find a blessing again. And then they would go back to disobedience again. Does this sound familiar to the world we live in? And so in this cycle and in this time, we read about what goes on with Ruth and Naomi and her family. And so I'm going to begin reading. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and 2 sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his 2 sons were Mahlon and Chilion, and they were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab, and they lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her 2 sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her 2 daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her 2 daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again, and then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Orpah means gazelle. Ruth means friend. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." Don't miss those words. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. Some translations, which I think are more accurate, say the whole town, the women were excited. And they exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." So Naomi returned from Moab, and accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arrived in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Father, I pray that your word would be food for hungry sheep this morning. And that, Lord, as we walk through this, we're going to see what it means to us today and the world that we live in today, and show us, Lord, how we should act and how we should be, in Jesus' name. Amen. Your first point in your outline, Elimelech took his family to Moab for food. You see, when you look at it and you say, why did they go to Moab? Well, it says that there was a famine in the land. In the promised land, there was a famine. In other words, they were in the cycle where they had disobeyed, and God was getting their attention by drawing out on them and saying, hey, I'm going to pull back on your food. You know, we pray for farmers. It's not just so they can be prosperous. It's so the United States of America can eat. And here in the promised land, there's a famine, and so they go. And Elimelech took his family to Moab for food. And the first thing I want to say to you today, it was a bad move. All right, it was a bad move. Look at your next point. Moab has a history of hostility toward Israel. Do some homework this week. Read Numbers. Read Numbers, chapter 22, 23, 24. Moab was against Israel, wouldn't let them pass by. Wouldn't let them come into their area when they were going to the promised land. They hired Balaam to curse Israel. Is everybody tracking with me here? Moab, to me, represents the world. Turn to somebody and say, don't go. As we go through the text today, I'm going to try to look at it and say, why did God let him go to Moab? There's a reason, I believe. But the point is, don't go. I'm in a Bible study with some really wise men, a lot smarter than I am, and one of them said this. I write down the statements they say on Tuesday morning, and one of them said, we always find a moral reason for our sin. And here we can look at it and say, Elimelech. Elimelech, his name means my God is king. Why did you go to Moab? And he would say, we were hungry. The name Naomi means pleasant. Mahlon and Chilion mean sickness and failing. Weak and failing. Maybe that's why they went to Moab. They said, we need food, man. We don't have food here. Our children are weak. They need nourishment. Is everybody tracking with me? You see, you can always find a reason to go. And I want to keep saying to you this morning, don't go into the world, church. Look at your next point. The world kept Elimelech and his family longer than they planned. I'm here to tell you, if you dabble in the world will grab you. It wants to get its grubby fingers on you, and it wants to hold you in there, and it wants to get you to sin, and the world wants to trap you. And as we read the text tells us that they spent 10 years there. I'm here to tell you, they didn't plan on staying there for 10 years. They planned on going there for a little while. They were going to get food, then they were going to come back home to the promised land. In church, every day, every moment, we are in a battle. The world wants to win you. The world is after you. It wants to get a hold of you. It wants to get a hold on you, and it wants to keep you. Listen to the words of Charles Spurgeon. They only meant to be in Moab for a little while, just as Christian people, when they fall into worldly conformity. Anybody here into worldly conformity? Only purpose to do it once, perhaps for the sake of the girls, to bring them out a little. Isn't that a great statement by Spurgeon? We're just going to take them out and expose them to the world for a little while. Listen to the last line, but it happens to them as it is written here. For 10 years they were there. Elimelech died, Mahlon died, Chilion died. The world had a costly price on the family. Would you agree with me? Church, every day it's after you. Our schools aren't teaching about Jesus. The public schools don't tell our children about Jesus. Trust me. You know, we have to do a good job as parents and grandparents to make sure that our children know who Christ is. Don't go into the world. Look at what happens when you go into the world. Your next point, the world made Naomi bitter and hopeless. You see what happens here in verse 11. Naomi said, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? And then in verse 20, don't call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. Mara means bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. Wow. I wonder if there's anybody bitter and hopeless in here. Anybody here listen to the news? If you listen to the world's news, you will be bitter and you will be hopeless. They have no answer for what's going on. Naomi said, I'm bitter. Don't call me pleasant. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. I'm bitter. Now look at your next point. Naomi acknowledged God's hand in her misfortune. Whew. Is there anybody in here that can acknowledge God's hand in where you're at today? Or do you blame him? A whole bunch of people blame God for where they're at today, and they forget to look at the fact that it's just probably how we acted and what we've done. God didn't make Elimelech go. Naomi acknowledged God's hand in her misfortune. Charles Spurgeon says again, what is there for any of us to be ashamed of in acknowledging that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? I wonder if some of you today, it will help you if you'll just stop and say, Lord, I'm in the position I'm in. You're here with me. You know what's going on. You have me here for a reason. Now, Lord, I want to submit to you. Isn't it interesting? Naomi doesn't say, oh, God never should have done this to me. What kind of loving God would do this? She doesn't say that. She says, God has done this. She's not mad at him. She's not against him. She just says, the Lord has afflicted me. It's an attitude that has to come back to the church, because, folks, being a Christian doesn't mean you'll never suffer. It doesn't mean you'll never have problems. We have problems. The difference between Christians is we know how to get through them, and we have a God that is Lord of all. So with all that said, now let's try to figure out what's going on here. Are you ready for the next point? Sometimes God has a purpose in the problem. Are you stuck in the problem, or are you looking for the purpose? Will you walk with me this morning, you see? Because we get stuck in the problem. I'm so into the flat tire, I can't remember a little bit of air will change at all. You see it? But you get so upset. And God has a purpose here. Now look at your next point. Naomi's character caused Ruth to forsake her false gods and cling to Naomi's one true God. If you read this, the most awesome part of this text is when Ruth says, don't urge me to leave you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. Verse 16. I want to ask you a question, church. Is your character such that anybody would follow you and say that? I have run into so many people this past year at the fair, uptown, witnessing on day-to-day life, where people are polytheists. They worship all kinds of gods, whether they know it or not. I've had Hindus say to me, but what about all these gods I was told about? And my answer to them is so simple, and I want you to have the answer. Are you ready? I'll say, which one of your gods died on the cross for you? Do you know that separates Christianity away from any other religion? And then I just say to them, I say, and who's the most powerful? Have any of your gods risen from the dead? And I'm here to tell you, it just sets Christianity apart quickly. Listen to what Ruth says. She says, your God will be my God. I'm going to forsake all the false gods. Are there any Naomis in here? We got any pleasant Christians? Got anybody with character that is so awesome and so lovable, so powerful, that Naomi was followed by Ruth? Ruth said, don't tell me to leave you. I'm going wherever you're going. Ruth chose the most loving, powerful God. So again, when we come back to the question, I want to make it so clear, I don't think it's good to go to Moab, folks. See, because I could get done preaching this and somebody could say, we got to go to Moab, we got to go in the world. No, you don't. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. Look at your point. Ruth had a divine appointment with Naomi. She had a divine appointment. Have you had any divine appointments lately? See, I don't know about you, but when I wake up in the morning, I ask God, what are we going to do today, God? I never know who He's going to bring me in contact with. I get to meet the most interesting people. I want to recommend a book to all of you right now, okay? I don't want to forget this, all right? Buy the book, The Church in Babylon, by Erwin Lutzer, and read it. Is everybody listening to me? Because you're living in Moab. You're living in Babylon. He outlines what's going on in the world today. He tells you how we should act as a Christian. He tells you what the government should do and what Christianity should do. And he told me personally, he said, it's going to be the last book he wrote. about the church, and he said, it's so bad, I'm going to write another one. There was a divine appointment. Do you know God has divine appointments for you, church? You have to recognize them. Instead of saying, why did I run into this guy today? Say, hey, Lord, I ran into this guy today. Right? After the insurance pays for the smashed up cars, you might be friends. They had a divine appointment. Now look at your next point. The people of Bethlehem were excited to see Naomi, and they welcomed her back. See what it says? The whole town was stirred because of them. They said, can this be Naomi? And again, in many of the translations, it says that they were excited. I believe the literal translation is they were excited. They were glad to see that Naomi was back. And so here's my question, Mount Zion Christian Church. How do we welcome people back into the flock if they leave for a while? Oh, boy. I want to tell you about my flesh for a little while. I know you'll find this hard to believe, but people leave Mount Zion Christian Church. Do you know that? Yeah, they go somewhere else. They leave. They're gone. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what you could think about Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion and everybody here that went to Moab? We could go, yep, I knew things weren't going to turn out for them. Anybody have that kind of reaction go on sometimes? Huh? I knew it. When they came back to Bethlehem, they should have gone, they could have said, nah, Naomi, I knew it. I knew you should have never left. Do you notice they don't say that? Instead, it says they were excited that Naomi came back. Mount Zion, we need to have that heart. We need to have the heart of Christ. Remember the parable? The 100 sheep, the one that left, and he left the 99 for what? To bring the one back. Do we have the heart or don't we have the heart? I mean, I see people go into the world all the time and get messed up, and then they have to come back. I can't say I told you so, and you never should have done that. You know, that doesn't get you very far in ministry. It just doesn't. They don't go, oh, we're so glad we're back. You have to have a soft heart. We can realize what's going on. We can realize why they are where they are. But we have to love them. We have to be ready to minister. We need to be glad that they've come back to God. We need to represent God. Look at your next point. God's love endures forever. His love endured to Naomi. You know, I want to take this time here to say, we haven't even talked about the fate of Elimelech and Mahlon and Chilion. You know, I look at them, I think they loved God. I think they knew God. I can't tell you they're not in heaven. I think we might be able to talk to them someday. Now, that's up to God. It's not up to me. I'm just saying, don't write these guys off. We all make mistakes, but we still love God. Amen? But God's love endures forever, all right? Psalms 100 and verse 5, all right? Psalms 100 and verse 5. Listen to what it says in the text, all right? It says, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Are there repercussions for sin? Yes. Is there pain? Yes. Does God discipline us? Yes. But His faithfulness continues through all generations. Go to 2 Timothy. All right? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. I absolutely love this portion of Scripture. Here is a trustworthy saying. Is everybody listening? If we died with Him, if we died with Jesus, if we've died to ourselves, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. I'm in on that. How about everybody else? If we disown Him, He will also disown us. Now listen, if we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He can't disown himself. See, folks, no matter what you do, you can't change the character of God. And when Naomi comes back home to Bethlehem, they're excited. She says, I'm bitter and I'm hopeless. And they were excited and they accepted her and they let her come back in. Had she paid a heavy price? Yes, she has. Her and Ruth come back and there's hope. All right? There's hope. Now, as we end this morning, I'm going to present something to you, and I want you to turn to somebody and say, this is Pastor Dave's idea. Go ahead. When I get to heaven, God might say, you totally missed it that morning. He really might. So I'm giving the disclaimer, but I want to present something to you. Why go to Moab? What you have to do is you have to go to Genesis. I'm not going to even talk about it this morning. It's too weird and messed up. You go to Genesis chapter 19, you're going to read about the origin of Moab. Moab was the son of Lot and his oldest daughter, and that's all I'm going to say. It was the nation of Moab. That's where the Moabites came from. Now listen to what 2 Peter says about Lot. Listen carefully, church. If he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the depraved conduct of the lawless, for that righteous man living among them day after day was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and heard. Folks, it's time for the church to be tormented in our righteousness day after day. For what's going on? Amen. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. See, it's the severity of God and the grace of God in one verse. He can deliver the righteous, but he will hold the wicked accountable for what they're doing. And as I keep pondering it, why, Lord, did you let them go to Moab? And I went back to the origin of Moab and I looked at Lot, and Peter in the New Testament says Lot was a righteous man. Lot and his wife, well, his wife was gone. Lot and his daughters lost everything and everyone they knew in one moment. Is everybody clear on that? And I wonder if God's grace and mercy didn't reach back into Moab and said, Ruth, come with me. Because Ruth, you're going to be part of the lineage of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Church, if you're in here and you think you're beyond hope, you are wrong today. If you have a family member that you think isn't going to get redeemed and they're ruined right now, or you have somebody that you're saying there's very little hope for them, I want to tell you today that God's grace and mercy can reach them. And there's such a balance in this text, the severity and the punishment that Naomi felt and the harshness of the world. And now she's coming back to the promised land. I can't wait for the next three chapters. They're absolutely awesome. So this morning, Lord, as we close, I want to lift up the body of Christ to you. And Lord, we certainly live in Moab and in Babylon right now. And Father, if there's anybody in here that's caught up in the world, if they've been out there just courting the world and saying, no, I can dabble in this and I can do this and everything will be okay, it won't be okay. And Lord, we need to repent today. We need to turn around. We need to become a church that's holy. Lord, we need to be a church that's faithful. And so, Father, if we need to today, I pray for every person in this place, Lord. I repent for the times I even look into the world and say, oh, that would be nice, because it won't be nice. It'll lay hold of us and it will shake the life out of us if we're not careful. And so, Father, help us to escape today. Help us to walk away in the power of your Holy Spirit. And then, Lord, help us to take on the character of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We see it in Naomi. She was so awesome and so wonderful that Ruth said, I won't leave you. Your God is going to become my God. Lord, I pray for the character of every man, woman, and child in this place and everybody that listens, that, Lord, will take on your character, so that, Lord, when we meet the woman at the well, she's converted. That, Lord, when we meet the demoniac, his chains are broken and his fetters are smashed, and that he's set free. And that, Lord, wherever we're at, if we're bitter and if we're hopeless because the world has beaten us up, that, Lord, today we will see your grace and mercy, and we'll see that there's a purpose in our problem, and that, Lord, will allow you to use us for a divine appointment to cause the unsaved people around us to say, I'm going to leave my false gods behind and I'm going to follow your God. Holy Spirit, I ask you to take your words this morning. I ask you to settle them in our heart. And then, Lord, as we recognize that we live in a crooked and perverse generation, you will use us as instruments of righteousness to pull people out of the fire and away from the flames and into your precious, loving kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer this morning, we'd love to pray for you. If you need time at the altar, there's time. If not, go out and have some divine appointments that will convert souls. God bless you.